and preserve them and maybe protect them from the hand of judgment. Well, if you don't believe that, let me tell you, I'll tell you in a minute. Let's go to the second passage. Proverbs 29:8. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. So, the people of the city who mock God, are they blessing the city? No, they're mocking God. But the people who honor God, are they blessing the city? Yeah, it says actually, they may actually turn away God's wrath. And there's no better illustration of this than the city of Sodom. That city, as you know from the scripture, was so full of wickedness that God had determined in his heart to utterly destroy it off the face of the earth unless he could find a sufficient number of righteous people to justify in his heart preserving that city. And you may remember that it was Abraham, our father in the faith, who was able to dicker God down. Remember that? Yeah. Down to how many?
One.
10. Did you go down to Shota House? 10. Is that a lot out of a city? All they needed was 10. And listen, here's what could have happened. 10 men, righteous, 10 righteous people could have saved the whole city. So here's the deal. Don't worry that you're not many. In Christ, many can have a great impact. And you're not the only ones here who are fulfilling this promise. Amen? Okay? So our very presence, our lives, our proclamation, it's actually preserving, blessing this city. Okay? Whether they know it or not, whether they care or not, it's irrelevant. You know it, and you should care. The third passage is Proverbs 11:11. It says, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. How many of you know the principle of blessing and cursing, sowing and reaping? Okay, we're charismatics, buddy. We know those principles, don't we? And so we learn that there's power in the tongue and the words. So we try to make sure that in our words and whatever, we're blessing our families. Amen? We're blessing ourselves. We're blessing our business. We're blessing our church. What about our city? Well, let me tell you what a lot of people do with their city when they're Christians. They curse it. Don't mean to, but you know why they curse it? Because there's so much stuff in our cities that wounds our spirit and breaks our heart. And so we become awfully critical and condemning of the place where God's put us. Anybody ever been there? I mean, how many of you know there's plenty of places and things in this city to complain about? I mean, really. I mean, every city's got problems, right? So there, if we want to find things to gripe about in Jacksonville, I bet we can find them. I bet if there are things in Jacksonville that you want to condemn and criticize and whatever, I'll bet you can find plenty of them. Just pick up the paper and you'll find them. And so it's natural to do that. And as things might get worse, let me tell you, it's going to be harder not to do that all the time. But let's guess, what does it say if we're constantly speaking those kind of words? Are we exalting the city? No. We're sowing seeds into the city that are not the kingdom of God. So here's one of the things that every church can do and every church should be doing is constantly, intentionally blessing their city for Christ. So that what? The city will be exalted, touched, and changed because as we sow, so if we're sowing good seed in the city, can't we expect to reap good harvest in the church? Amen? Amen? A harvest of lost souls and lapsed saints. So God calls the church to the city and he uses the church to bless the city. And then three, God uses the church to change the city. I'm in Genesis 28. You remember the story of Jacob and his dream? The Bible says that Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting upon the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, and above it stood the Lord. Skip to verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Verse 19. He called the place Bethel, the house of God, though the city used to be called Luz. Now, usually we focus on the ladder, the angels, God, the dream, That's not what I want to focus on in this whole thing. There's something God showing us about the city and Jacob. In this dream, Jacob got a revelation about the city he was visiting. Okay? He couldn't see this in the natural eye. He could only see it by the Spirit. And the revelation was, God is here. Now, you realize the city he was in was not a Christian city. So probably in the natural, he thought, God is not here. And sometimes I think that's how we think of our cities. God is not here. I live in Hell City 1, Florida. No, God gave him a revelation. Open his eyes. God is in this. In fact, God is in this place right here, right now. So here's the challenge. We need to learn to see our city through God's eyes. Amen. And not through our own, because our own eyes are dirty filters. So we need to see our city through God's eyes and realize that wherever God is, that's an awesome place. That's a gateway to heaven. And here's what my hope is, my prayer is, that every single one of our churches is that kind of place. Amen. This place that we bless. We want this place to be an awesome place. Amen. We want this place to be the house of God. We want this place to be a gateway to heaven. A place of worship and ministry, of healing and blessing and deliverance and transformation. Isn't that what you want for this place? Amen. So that, but here's the deal, not just for you, but for the blessing and benefit of the whole city, community. For having received a revelation about that city, Jacob spoke a prophetic word over the city, commensurate with the revelation he'd begun in. Did you notice he said, "I'm renaming the city Bethel"? Was he one of the fathers of the city? Was he the mayor? Did he take a vote? No. No. But in the spirit he said, "This is not Luz. This is Bethel." You know, eventually the name got changed. But then he was just speaking prophetically. He was speaking God's word of what God wanted for that city. God uses the church to change the city. He used Jacob to change the city. And Jacob began by speaking God's word over the city that God wanted that people to be. Does that make sense to you? Okay. I believe God can use you for that in this place. To impact, to bless, and to change your city for his kingdom. Through our prayers, yes. Through our presence, yes. And through our proclamation, just like Jesus did. He's our model for the kingdom vision. And so we just have to get in our minds that our ministry doesn't stop here at 12 o'clock. It actually just begins. Our ministry is out there the rest of our life. Amen. So, this is what he told him in Matthew 28:18. We know it as the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute. He said go and then he said wait. So are they supposed to go or wait? Well, here's the deal. Without supernatural power, we don't go. We're supposed to wait. But if we have supernatural power, we're not supposed to wait. We're supposed to go. So here's the deal. Some people are going and should be waiting. Some people are supposed to be waiting and should be going. Which are you? Really? There are some people that are going should be waiting. Some people waiting should be going. But since you belong to a Spirit-filled church, you should be going. So stop waiting. The waiting's over. Pentecost has come. In other words, the gospel mandates that we go and we not wait. We leave the safety of the sanctuary, we go to the streets of the city to not... Here's the deal. You can't wait for the people to come to Christ. You have to take Christ to the people. Isn't that what he did for us? He didn't wait for us to go to heaven. He came from heaven to came to us. Okay? Now, I understand that just like with Jesus, and he warns us, sometimes people will reject us. But here's the good news. Sometimes they'll accept us. So, well, sometimes they're going to ridicule us. Yeah? But sometimes they'll appreciate us. But sometimes they're going to mock us. Well, but sometimes they're going to honor us. But isn't that what they did with Jesus? And then they'd say, that's what's going to happen to my followers? So why should we expect anything else? It's always been that way. It will always be that way until Jesus comes again. So in spite of all that, we have to gird up our loins and just do what God said and trust him with the consequences, believing that the one we serve is always faithful. Always faithful. And he will do exactly what he said he'll do. He'll empower us and he'll confirm with signs and wonders the words we speak and minister into other people's lives. And so in Mark 16:19, it said, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the disciples, here they go, the disciples went out and preached, there's the word, everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. I call this power evangelism. I know you're doing EE. EE is great. It's not enough. It's not enough. You need the word and the wonders. That's what will change the city for Christ. That's what will touch lost souls and retouch lapsed saints. It's simple. The people of God are filled with the power of God, such that the word of God is proclaimed in power and confirmed in power. The kind of power that did win many for Christ and transformed the whole culture in earlier generations. And since I believe the gospel's the same yesterday, today, and forever, I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I believe the kingdom is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it can happen again. And I say, why shouldn't it happen again? And I want to be a part of it happening again. And I hope you want to be a part of it happening again, because God calls this church to this city. He's going to bless this city through this church. And he's going to use this church to change this city. That's the vision of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you can sermon over.